Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Harry's Roses.
Love Harry's Roses.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet podcast, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. If I sound down, Mason, it's because, well, you know why.
Peter Fonda died.
Peter Fonda died.
Star of Easy Rider.
Yep.
And more accurate to our listeners and us, Ghost Rider.
Exactly. On top of that, also, we just did the entire episode just now.
Oh my God, so we're done, so I can go home.
No, Mason.
It's the magic hour. I'm going to go home and get a kebab.
It did not record.
Oh, what?
Well, you're
just telling me now.
the ad spot recorded.
Oh my God, well, that's the important thing.
That's true. We always said if we ever lost an episode, it would be gone forever. Mm-hmm. But professionalism took over, and because we needed to do an ad, took over.
Well, exactly, that's right, yeah. We're beholden to our masters in Harry's Races. Is that who we're doing this week?
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yep. So we thought, well, why not? You know, the true fans,
yes.
Harry's Races.
Yeah, so
they'll get their episode.
So this might be maybe a little bit shorter, I don't know.
Or longer.
Or longer, because we're just kind of...
It'll be shorter because we'll have to take out all this, because we probably won't do the Seinfeld riff anymore.
That was such a good
which
riff.
Which is just, and was just, it was us existing in a world where we were both Seinfeld. And just, but you'll never, maybe we'll do it live one day.
Yeah, maybe we will. Yeah. But yeah.
Dueling
but
Seinfelds.
I feel like the magic is gone though.
We'll come up with new we'll magic. Say,
yeah. Peter Fonda, of course, as you mentioned, passed away. Well, the movie we have talked about.
Oh my God, are we going to be talking about this three times, the death of Peter Fonda?
Yeah, seems that way. Well, I'm saying
a guy we barely know what he did.
he's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
But also
name another thing besides Easy Rider and Ghost Rider.
I really can't. But I know that he was a titan of filmmaking.
Yes.
And I will not stand down from that, Mason.
Right.
But also Richard Williams, who's an award-winning animator behind Who Framed Roger Rabbit, also passed away at 86 this week. He did a lot of revolutionary stuff on that film. Captain Christian does an excellent video on the animation stuff. That dog is absolutely gone bananas next to you. Yeah. Did an excellent video on the animation behind that movie if you want to check out kind of the work done on Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because there's some really revolutionary stuff.
Give me an example of a revolutionary thing.
Well, basically they use like motorized just arms to stand in for characters so they could pass things and move through doorways and whatever, just to kind of give more life to the scene. Imagine Space Jam, but without green screen.
I cannot imagine Space Jam with or without green screen.
You love Space Jam, right?
I don't know if I've ever seen Space Jam all the way through.
Well, we're going to have to do it for Caravan of Garbage,
why?
Then, I guess. Why?
Because they're remaking it?
Yes. Oh, and they're doing a sequel with another basketball player.
Oh, is it? It's LeBron?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. Good. Let's say that it is.
All right, good.
We also got to mention our charity campaign is just about to hit halfway to the $50,000 raised. Of course, every dollar that's raised is doubled, and that money goes towards making a seaweed farm, which cuts down CO2 emissions.
Oh my God, you're so professional about this one.
I had a lot of time to warm up, didn't I?
You absolutely did. That's true. Well, it's interesting because we will have to go through... We're going to have to talk about the same stuff again.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, well, we're really going to be on the ball.
We're just going to have to pretend that we didn't hear the other person say the exact same thing they've already said. We're just going to have to let that go.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the time I'll say something, I'll say a joke and you'll react the same way whether you've heard it
like
before
this? I got a laugh track now on this machine.
Please don't touch the machine. Please don't.
That made you very nervous?
Yes. Exactly.
Look, the big recording button is red.
It's red, so
I don't know what else
sign.
We need from it. That's really all we need, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Anything else?
So the Intrepid Foundation, as you mentioned.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
We did forget to mention that
twice. That's right. And of course, there are a bunch of perks that you get from that. We're doing a bonus Q&A episode, which we'll definitely record only once.
Oh, my God.
So if you donate any amount of money, you can ask a question. There's going to be prizes. So please, donate if you can. Also, episode 300 is coming up in two episodes. What do you want us to do? At episode 200 with Star Wars prequels, we were thinking maybe the Matrix films. We could do a superhero showdown. It's really up to the people, isn't it, Mason?
Are you going
to
try and sneak in two more episodes before... Before episode 300, because you would technically still be on episode 298.
Yeah. Okay, well, do you want to celebrate at 302 then?
I mean, you can celebrate on 302.
Well, this is technically episode 299. We're one ahead now.
Oh my God, you're
so
right.
300 is next week.
Oh my God.
What a world.
I know, right?
Mason, I hate to do this to you, but we've got Star Wars news. That's
really... The sheer indignity... That it is Star Wars news, the news that I hate the most. Well, you know what? The news that I like the least. I still like it a little bit.
Sure.
I like the fact that there is news of any kind.
Yeah.
But the indignity of having to listen to it twice, it's the same news from moments ago.
You got a break last week. I feel like this is only fitting.
Oh, you're right.
It's like when you take a week off work and you get back and you're like, I've got double the workload. Didn't feel like a holiday at all.
That's not how my job works at all.
Well, I've got to drive two trams.
No, yeah,
like straddling between.
No, I do have to do that. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Are you striking, by the way?
Not so far, but maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you know what? There's going to be an out of uniform day.
Oh, really?
Next,
what are you going to wear
next week? Well, I'm not working that day.
Oh, okay. Well, that means like the next day.
That's part of my signature look. Obviously, I wear a fedora at work, so I'd have to wear something different.
Can you actually wear a hat as a tram driver?
There are assorted hats.
Yeah, right. But they work-related hats.
Yeah, there are work-related hats. There's like a beanie and like a baseball cap kind of situation.
Can you wear it backwards?
No, absolutely not.
That's wild.
Yeah. I have an odd-shaped skull.
Oh, okay.
Physically, I cannot wear them backwards.
No, but are you allowed to?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand now. Anyway.
Some drivers have like an Akubra hat kind of situation.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where they come from.
Yeah. The bin. Because they're no good, mate.
Brutal.
So the Obi-Wan Star Wars series looks like it's officially happening. Variety even weighing in on this. It's not confirmed. Next week is D23. But it's basically Ewan McGregor is set to return as his character, Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars.
Okay, right. Yeah. Not the character from Trainspotting. He's not. Okay.
This is something I didn't mention last time we didn't record this.
Oh, yes.
They mentioned there's going to be a returning, like, robot-y metal character. So there could be a Grievous.
A robot-y metal character.
Yeah, it could be a Grievous. It could be a Darth Maul. It could be a C-3PO. Are you getting?
Do you think it's maybe like Grievous's head that he carries around in like a bowling ball bag or something like that?
Well, he didn't behead Grievous, but I can imagine that he might have gone back for it.
Sure, why not?
But his head like caught fire. He burnt like his eyes. It came out through the
eyes. Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. He shot him in the chest and his whole body, like what was left of it, just...
In Attack of the Clones, or whichever one he was in.
Third one, Revenge of the Sith, yeah.
So, okay. Well,
Mason, we talked about it in episode 200. How do you not remember?
Oh, my God. okay, that's exciting. Well, because that's the thing. Like, well, I don't... What do we know about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
What do you mean?
Like, what's he like? Like, would he collect a... Would he collect a trophy? Would he collect a severed head of a man? Or a robot man?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're all kind of weird, dead-eyed psychopaths, aren't they? Under the guise of peace.
Yeah, see, that's so, what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I know they collect, like, ancient artifacts and you know, things like that.
Is this just going to be, like, 13 hours of stoicism or something
right.
like that?
Okay, maybe.
Because I'm not on board with
that. I don't think so. I think it's going to be, like, local crime lord stuff. There's a few comics that they've made in canon.
And do you think he's just going to be, like, wryly amused by everything?
No, I think he's going to be like, I used to be cool and now I'm hot because it's so hot.
Is that right?
That's what he'll say.
That's his famous catchphrase?
Yeah, that's right.
Used to be cool, but now he's hot and he's tipping those shades.
That's right. I used to be cool.
But now I'm hot.
Hot, yeah. So, look, this has been seemingly in the works for... Since they announced they were bringing all these back.
Yeah, yeah.
I really want to see this, and I hope it's good. Apparently, it's a limited series. The Mandalorian is going to be ongoing.
Oh.
This will be kind of one and done, it seems. Unless it does really well, and then they'll do another one.
So, for sure. Uh-huh.
But he actually... Do you know which new Star Wars stuff he's actually turned up in?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
No.
Showed up one time. He's in... The Force Awakens and The Flash in that weird Force vision scene.
Oh, I see,
it's
right.
A combination of him and Alec Guinness.
Saying hello there.
Yeah, hello there. I was hot, but now I'm whatever his catchphrase is.
He used to be cool, but now he's
I
hot.
I was hot, but now I'm cold.
Very good.
It didn't work. I tried to bring the Seinfeld back. Didn't feel it.
I understand. I get it.
What else we got here? More Star Wars news, Mason. You
have
know
to
that.
Speed through it. Slow it down for the listener.
That's all right. No, what else is there to say? Did we cover all that?
I think so, yeah.
What other Star Wars news.
Okay.
The Hollywood Reporter has reported that the Game
this
of...
This rag.
I know, right? The Game of Thrones duo, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, their treatment for a Star
Wars... positive. Last time we had to look up their names.
We did. That's right. Just fly. We should do this every week.
I know, right?
They're writing the treatment for a Star Wars trilogy, and they're committed to penning at least one of the films. And the original deal was to write three, so it's unclear, like, what this is going to look like, basically.
Right. Is this them shirking their duties?
Yes.
Is this
jumping?
Is this Disney panicking and being like, well, we don't trust them actually to write three, so we'll just give them one?
Mm.
Or is this the case of, like, they got their foot in the door, they signed the contract? And yeah. Are these guys like the people at your job who are like, what can I get away with not doing?
Yeah, right,
like, okay. What's the absolute bare minimum I can do and not be fired? And they're like, just write one.
Yeah.
They'll never know.
Because they've got that Netflix deal. But what does that mean? Does it just mean, like, they're going to sit in a room and be like, what if there was a cowboy, but he drove two trams? He wore a fedora or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, first of all, he'd be sued for intellectual property theft, both of them.
Yes. But, like, are they just throwing out ideas, or is it...
Yeah.
What level
or is
of
it
development
like, are they like... Is it some sort of think tank?
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't. I don't know anything about these guys. What do I know about these guys? But I mean, what do I know about these guys?
we looked up there.
Yeah, I know, but like, stuff, but I guess my question would be like, are they the kind of people who would be like, okay, we've got this Netflix deal. Now we'll bring in a group, like a think tank.
Yeah, okay, I got
like
you.
Like a group of writers. But we did look them up. So they did.
Some novels, some minor TV stuff here and there, but nothing. The Game of Thrones is the thing. That's it. So, look, what do you even say? You know what I mean?
what do you say
that hasn't already been said?
They've got a proven track record that was good for a while and then not good at all.
But I do wonder if maybe they're looking at, like, they're good at adapting things, it would seem.
Yeah. Until when the guiding hand of the person creating it is right there. Right.
But now if they're asking...
So they're bringing Lucas back.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's been rumors. There's been speculation they're going to bring George Lucas back for something to, like, you know, have a
with his permission,
things.
You would hope. Going to bring him back against his will. He just wants to hang out in food courts in Adelaide, and
of
they won't let him.
He just wants to live his life in Adelaide.
Yeah.
In a food court.
Yeah. What does his wife do? That's why he was there, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know she's some kind of high-flying person.
Yeah, and she was at some development conference or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And then he was just like, well, gonna go to a food court in Adelaide.
Yeah, I got some spare coin and time, so why wouldn't I? Oh, good on him. In other Star Wars news, Mason, Rian Johnson has talked about his trilogy, which is also maybe still happening or not happening. Again, we'll probably find out more at D23, but he says basically he's doing something that steps beyond the legacy characters. The blue sky element is what's striking about it, is because et cetera and so forth, finding out what the essence of Star Wars is.
And look, so I said it the last time and I'll say it again. He's never of course it's going to be the essence of Star Wars. He's never going to go, we're going to you know all the stuff you like, we're not going to do that. We're going to do new stuff that you're going to hate.
We want to take the,
you know, me, Rian Johnson, the guy that made the one that a lot of people hate. Well, I'm going to do more new stuff that you're probably going to hate.
Yeah.
Surprise, idiots.
I think people would be less inclined to hate this if we like The Last Jedi. Yes. If he hadn't made The Last Jedi and then was coming into this, I think people would be more open to changes in the Star Wars universe when they're not using legacy characters. You've invented a new character.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Trim Tram Dim Dam. So you know what I mean?
Yep.
You're telling me that's not already a Star Wars
I'm
character?
I'm probably going to sue him for intellectual property theft, but all right.
Yes. So I just, there's these two trilogies that they're making.
Yes.
But when? Even the logistics of when they're going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Or what platform, I don't know.
Yeah, or have they got these people on the hook and they're like, look, sometime in the next 15 years you have to make these? Or is it like 2020, we're putting six movies out? Yeah. Like, there's no way of knowing.
That's right.
I mean, there is a way of knowing. It's
them telling us.
D23.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that'll be, we'll find out, won't we? And speaking of Disney, Mason, Disney are talking about an Aladdin sequel. Will we get Return of Jafar? Will we get King of Thieves? Will we get that cartoon, the show that was on Saturday morning?
Remember? Was there a, no?
Yeah, there was an Aladdin TV series. Dan Caston and Aladdin Lalo was the genie.
Oh, I see,
guy,
right, okay.
Like he was in some of the movies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, just Return of the Jafar. Yeah.
Okay, that's all you want?
They got, well, he recorded everything for King of Thieves, but then they got Robin Williams back and Good Faith and whatever.
Oh,
so
I see,
they
right.
redid it all. Yeah.
Okay.
But, but thanks for coming in, Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Regardless.
I mean, he's not hurting for work, though.
No,
it's
he
not
doesn't
like,
care.
It's not like he's struggling.
$6 million an episode for Simpsons each or whatever.
Is it really?
It's crazy. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot. Mm. Yeah. It's in the millions.
Well, I was just exactly. I was just thinking about that the other day, apropos of nothing, just at work.
Yeah.
Just thinking about how Harry Shearer like records from his house and he gets $1 million an episode. And some days, I imagine that'd be one line.
Definitely.
Because he'd be doing like maybe Mr. Burns and Smithers aren't in this episode, well, so he's just like.
But it's harder for him than it would be, say, the woman who does Lisa, because I think she only does Lisa.
Right.
So he does 6 to 8 characters or whatever.
Sure.
And Lisa's just like, there's too many meat eaters or whatever Lisa's doing now in The Simpsons.
She's a meat eater now. She's too many, but there's too many meat eaters, and I love it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're up to.
Me neither. So that's, we talked about this before, but the natural progression of these live action movies.
Mm.
They clearly make money. All of them except Dumbo have done incredibly successfully. The two this year have both hit $1 billion.
Should they take another crack at Dumbo is the question.
Never in a million years.
We don't know if it was bad or not.
What do you think?
Yes, it was bad. But I didn't see it. So I can't say that with any level of authority. But I'm going to. It was bad.
It was bad, probably.
Yeah.
Also, apparently it goes beyond the story of Dumbo. Because Dumbo goes for like an
How
hour.
Dare they?
I know.
Yeah, right.
So it continues on.
It wasn't
that.
Just like long establishing shots of Dumbo. It wasn't just like an extended sadness sequence where he walks around the circus grounds on a chain or whatever.
The whole thing is an extended sadness
you
sequence.
Bet that's what itself. I'm talking about. Yeah.
Don't need any more of that. But also, Lion King is now the highest grossing animated film of all time, the new one, already. So there you go. And we loved it. So that's good.
We didn't love it, though?
But I didn't like it.
I also didn't like it. And that's, it's just. Is the next one going to build on this, or is this just a case of people are like, okay, we've got to see this just to see if it is something,
maybe.
And then next time we will not.
But kids would love it. Like, my son really liked it.
But he still likes the animated one more.
Yeah,
right?
He does, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, so it's a new generation of kids, and that's the movie that you take your kids to, you know what I mean? Or you just go see if you're at the cinema, you're like, I guess, you know, it's one of those situations.
Yeah, good.
Isn't it?
So it's the cinema of depressed resignation. I guess we'll see.
It's either this or nothing.
Interact with my children and learn what they're actually like. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh,
gross.
Yuck.
Oh man.
Yuck. I just want my kids to sit in relative silence for 2 hours.
Can I listen to a Joe Rogan podcast while I watch this?
Absolutely, I can. Oh my god. Oh my god. Imagine if you were on DMT and doing MMA. Imagine what that would be like. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Elk meat. I should try some elk meat.
Yeah. Is he all about elk meat?
He loves elk meat. Yeah. Oh. He's into it. Good on him.
I watched. Have you ever seen Binging with Babish? It's that.
No.
It's a YouTube channel about.
I know what it is.
Yeah, it's a guy and he makes kind of dishes from TV and movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's one where he makes an every meat burrito. Because it's in
every meat.
It's called. Well, that's the thing. It's called. It's
you got rabbit in there.
Maybe, but it was. He went. It was on regular show or Adventure Time or something like that. But he goes to this place in I think it's New York where they just sell weird meats, and he's getting like python meat.
Ah,
and just
did it look good?
No, I mean I've eaten snake before.
You eaten snake?
Yeah, I've eaten snake.
What's it like?
Chicken. They're all chicken. They all taste like chicken.
That's true. Every weird meat I've ever had tastes like chicken.
If you bought a weird meat and it tasted like anything else, there'd be a shelf for it. Like there'd be a python shelf.
That's probably true.
In the supermarket, but it's cheaper to raise chickens than it is to raise pythons.
I assume. We'll look into it.
The chickens are less poisonous
than a python.
Yeah.
I don't think pythons are poisonous.
Oh.
I think they'd just strangle you.
Oh.
With a rope.
God.
So
well, then I'm not getting that out of my poultry cabinet at the bloody the reptile poultry cabinet at the supermarket. It's going to strangle me in my sleep.
Absolutely. With the rope.
With the rope. Now I get it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. RoboCop returns, or does he? Or do he be?
I'll head you off at the pass here. He doesn't, because Blomkamp is off.
Unless they're still making it. Yeah, he's got a tweet that says, off RoboCop, I'm shooting a new horror thriller and MGM can't wait. They need to shoot RoboCop now. Excited to watch it in theaters with other fans. Are you?
Yeah, I don't
are
think.
You, Neil?
I wonder about the like famous directors. Do they, or anybody at that level?
Edgar
they
Wright still didn't see Ant-Man, presumably.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. But do they even enjoy movies?
Yeah.
All right, then.
I mean, I think it'd be hard to watch a movie that you were... I mean, we don't know whether it kicked off. Maybe this is legitimate.
That's true.
But I'd imagine... Because I know they're talking about doing a super R-rated direct sequel to the original one and what, like, the Paul Verhoeven classic.
Yeah.
So maybe they got cold feet on that vision.
That might be true. Mm. Yeah, they want to sell more lunchboxes.
I know I do. Wasn't it weird they had that RoboCop line of toys when we were kids? Same with Terminator. Like, it's Terminator with... action chest, and the chest opens up and there's another head in there or something.
Sure. You know, there'd be a grappling hook. There'd always be a grappling hook. It'd be like Terminator wall climbing action, and you'd be like, did the Terminator climb any walls?
He didn't climb zero walls. He maybe run through a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
You made him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So this Terminator's covered in moss. He stinks. And there's the kid on the ads going, why? Why is this? Why are you making me do this? I don't know. When we talked about this earlier, you were like, who could direct this one? And then I was just churning it over in my mind. I'm like, oh, the District 9 guy could do it. I'm like, oh, no, that is Neil Blomkamp. Yeah. All right.
They're 2 steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
But I also mentioned Paul Verhoeven might be... He's like 81 now, though. So,
okay.
But, you know, he did...
I mean, I'm sure they could get him just to say they get, you know...
Yeah, exactly.
We're in that era where they'd be like, we'll get him just to say we got him, and then everybody
else... how they got Frank
Miller. Exactly, and the producers do everything City now.
Yeah.
Yes, it's exactly like how they got Frank Miller for Sin City 2. Yes.
You watched that yet? Still on your iPad?
No, still on my iPad. I think it's on Netflix as well or something, so I can watch it on any medium I choose.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. We took a quick break there to make sure this was recording.
Yep, and it did.
And it did.
Seamless. So now we have an ad.
Yep.
And we have...
maybe 24 minutes of a show in total.
Oh, 21 to 24 minutes of a show. We've got all the news, so that's done. So even if this doesn't record, I'm leaving.
We don't have
I'm
all
just kidding.
We don't have all the news, Mason.
Oh, really?
Because we've still got Krypton... has been cancelled.
Oh, it's been cancelled, yeah.
Over at the Sci-Fi Network. They were also working on a Lobo spin-off.
So that's series. Also cancelled?
That's also cancelled. It may move to another network, maybe a DC streaming platform, maybe a bin. We don't know yet. I like Krypton Season 1, which is the one that I watched, and it really surprised me. Apparently Pennyworth is quite good as well. The new
is that out?
Yeah.
What? There's too many shows and they should cancel some. Starting with Krypton, in my opinion.
Well, Mason, they're 2 steps ahead of you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you've never watched this?
No,
yeah,
no. It's good. But I've seen the occasional ad and I'm like, ooh, intriguing.
Mm.
Leather jacket man.
Leather jacket. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people being like, you're my grandpa from the future. Mm. Your son's going to be Superman.
How's a leather jacket close? With a zip?
Yeah, zip at the back.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay, right. That always throws me whenever you're like, this man's from an alien race and they're light years ahead of us. How does his jacket do up? Oh, zip? It's got a zip on it.
At the back.
Oh, it's up.
Because also, because you know this about the planet Krypton. In a lot of ways, they are ahead, but they fall behind and say, your planet is exploding.
That's
so I think it'll be the same with leather jackets. Like, they're not quite there.
Yeah,
like, in many ways, they're ahead of us, but in two ways, jackets and exploding planets, they are behind.
Get to the escape pods. This one isn't opening. There's a zip at the front. I don't understand it. Help. But Jor-El, he knows.
He knows.
He can open a zip from the front or the back or the side.
And he knows Kung Fu.
Yep.
Remember? Russell Crowe knew
Kung
Fu.
Now I remember.
Fu, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you
right.
think they, in the Man of Steel universe, which it's dead.
Sure.
Do you think they imprint them with Kung Fu when they're born? Or do you think Russell Crowe went, anybody can be anybody, I'm going to learn me some fucking kung fu. Just
FYI.
See.
I'd never thought about it, and I never will think about it after this moment, but I would get the impression that maybe he was in the military. Like, there's a certain amount of military training.
Sure, yeah.
But again, who are they fighting? Besides, like, the insurgents.
Well, they colonized, didn't they? Oh, no, his generation didn't, did they?
Yeah. Maybe he did learn kung fu in his own time.
Yeah. Because then they'd be like, this guy knows kung fu. We didn't know that.
Sure.
Yeah.
We just use the traditional 1950s method of fighting, which is just you swing a punch and then somebody blocks it and then they punch you. Whoever gets in first, swing a punch, block, then they punch you. Repeat 1,000 times. That's
right.
How you win a war.
Yeah. If anybody ever bends down, double fist punch on the
on
back.
On the back, yes. Wham.
You'd go for the kidneys, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Double fist punch on the back. What is that?
We should test that out sometime.
On each other?
Yes. On someone unsuspecting. On whoever borrowed the Zoom and went to Perth.
Claire.
Yeah, your wife.
God damn it, Claire.
We should do that because we've talked about, I think, we were talking about earlier, maybe off air, or maybe in that recording that didn't work.
Yeah, sure.
You were talking about how much you hate scientists talking about superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of like...
What if Thor's hammer weighs as much as a star? If you technically put it down on Earth, it would go to the center of the planet. But when you relate... Shut up.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
None of it matters.
Well,
I need the bare minimum explanation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But some people don't. That's the...
No, you're right. I think obviously there's value in that.
Yes.
I just don't care.
But anyway, what I was going to say is, because we were at one point, our friend Hollywood Pete. Can we talk about this?
I guess.
Yeah. Our friend Hollywood Pete was like, you should record... They were working on a pilot of like Mythbusters, but for superheroes.
Which I think the Mythbusters guy is maybe even doing
that. He probably is doing that now or has done it. Who knows? He's very productive.
I think he made a real Iron Man suit or something recently.
I saw, by chance, I turned on the TV and I saw the final ever episode of Mythbusters. And all they did was they just got all the previous myths, like, in prop form and just crashed in them with a truck.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Just the whole, they were like, all right, here's all our major.
Yeah.
Like, here's the rocket car and here's all the blood, like, up until, you know, for years and years. And they just put them all in a line and he just drove through them with a truck.
And then they just never spoke again because apparently those guys do not get along.
Well, I don't think Jamie was in the last episode, mate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think he was in the last
episode. No, he was in that row of things that they ran into.
They put him in the trunk of the rocket car. Anyway, I was going to say, we should, instead of doing Mythbusters but for superheroes, we should do Mythbusters but for, like, awkward 1960s fighting techniques in movies. So we'll try the back punch. We'll see if it hurts.
Okay, see what happens. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Do we want to get people who can actually fight to do it, though? Because, like, we couldn't hurt somebody by doing that.
Oh, that's a really good point.
But maybe if you're good at it. But no. Have you ever seen that in any kind
we'd have
of fight
to get somebody,
ever?
We'd have to get somebody like the size and weight of a William Shatner.
Yeah, right.
Fit William Shatner.
Oh, I was going to say, because we could probably get William Shatner.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Probably. And then, yeah. So, okay, so back punch.
Yep.
You know, you judo could, chop to the neck.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Awkward flip.
The awkward
shoulder throw. Awkward judo shoulder throw.
I reckon we could get him if we went to those conventions and we lined up for an hour and just we went and then we went as they're taking the photo. Like, okay, I want you to hit me in the back as hard as you can. He'd probably do it.
No,
with the double fist.
I think maybe he would go for it, but then I think maybe his mind would be like, you cannot hit somebody. Until they sign this waiver, and then you can hit him all you like. It,
yeah, but he's already hit us by that point.
That's true.
Yeah. And the last bit of news is Disney have allegedly believe that, this is what's been said, it's been rumoured. Have I practiced this before? That the New Mutants has a limited box office potential and they're very unimpressed with the movie in itself. So what's going to happen to it?
Yep.
Nothing, I guess.
I guess. Would they even, like, I mean, you know, the standard response is, well, they'll probably put it on streaming. They'll put it on. It'll be seen as it's a bad movie release, but it'll be a real draw card for Disney Plus when that finally gets going.
Yes.
But I don't know if they'd risk even that.
I think,
like, it might be like, hey, it's us. It's Disney Plus. The first thing you can get is a real dud.
Yeah,
I think people would be like, oh,
we don't
actually.
Want
I'd rather see something good and new
because they're building, you know, premium stuff, it would seem. Well, they're attempting so. We haven't seen any of it yet. And also, if this is the first, this could be perceived as the first output of Mutant stuff on under the Marvel new banner.
Yeah, yeah.
So is this the new, I mean, even though we, obviously this is not going to be folded into the MCU, people might be confused. It might be more damaging.
Might be folded into the Glass Unbreakable cinematic universe.
Oh, who cares? Jump fold into that. That's fine.
Fold it absolutely into that.
Just be at the end and go, we're all James McAvoy's personalities,
all
right?
Yeah, we're all. Live in an asylum. But in many ways, don't we all live in an asylum? Maybe the lunatics are running the bloody asylum politics, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe what they'll do is they'll release Disney Plus, all the premium WandaVision, Bucky, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier, etc. And then, like, a year later, they'll be like,
stealth drop it.
Yeah, just stealth drop it in. Like, you'll get that notification that's like, Disney Plus have added a thing you might like on your email, and you go, nah.
I don't think I will. I reckon they'll put it on 4 CDs and leave it in a library. And then people can, then it will spread via that.
Audio only? Is what
you're whatever. Maybe some of it's audio, some of it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. It's it's just so like 4x3.
It's in like a CD wallet?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, right. Oh, you know what? They'll put it in a CD wallet and they'll stick it under the front seat of somebody's car.
Oh, yeah. That's
and if they eventually, they're on a long road trip and they dig it out, they're like, oh, what's this?
What is this?
Ah! On video CD.
So there you go. That's where we're at with New Mutants. Will we ever see it? Potentially not, but I think they'll just very just if it's going to be anywhere, it's streaming.
Yeah.
Right? It might even go Hulu. They own Hulu.
They might even
give it to Netflix.
Look, I understand that if you release something, there's got to be a marketing budget behind it, and they're like, oh, we'll never recoup the costs or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just seems odd that they would literally never release it.
But it would.
But how much stuff? But also Disney. Disney have the Disney Vault.
Yes.
I don't know if they do it these days still. But
they put their racer stuff in there.
Yeah, right. But it used to be this idea of, like, every couple of years, they were like, hey, now you can get Aladdin on VHS, and then it would be around for a while, and then it would just get recalled, and you just couldn't get it for a number of years. So I mean, if they're willing to do that, I guess they're also willing to be like, you'll never see this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
they'll put it next to that Jerry Lewis film that never came out.
Which one?
It was some sort of Nazi Holocaust clown movie.
What?
It's called The Day the Laughter Died or something.
Really?
Yeah, he made it, and it was his like, I don't think Disney have it, but it's he would only ever play it at his house or something like that.
For who? People he hated.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Jerry.
That's old Hollywood for you.
Boy, is it. Mm. We should get him on the show.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
No.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
The Day the Laughter Died. I'm going to look it up. We'll come back to it, but we won't come back to
I'll
it.
I'll put an ad in here and then...
Oh, and then we'll get back, yeah. We'll back to what people are really waiting for, which is me talking about a Jerry Lewis film that you can't see.
Mason, in an ad time, I like to ask important questions like, if Captain America shaved in a movie...
Yes, I'm
the
listening.
Movie Avengers Endgame, what... quality durable razor.
Harry's razors.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. 100%. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's happened. I don't know if you've seen Avengers Endgame.
We've
Mason.
All seen Avengers Endgame. Everyone in the world seen Avengers Endgame.
That's true. Mm. A lot of people have sent this in. Captain America takes his beard off. How does he do it? Not
Harry's
with
razor.
Some kind of vibranium shield situation.
In a way, and you may not have. I think the fact that Harry's has put a product placement into the biggest movie ever made, the most profitable movie ever made in the world.
Mm.
They probably don't need to advertise with us anymore.
That's probably true. And yet here we are. What a world.
I know, right?
They deliver high-quality razors and travel-friendly shave supplies because, ooh. Mason, it is a period of summer in the northern parts of the hemisphere.
Yes.
That's right.
Right now it's very cold.
That's
we have
right.
so many layers on down here.
But a lot of people going here and there and their shave
supplies... Hit the ring
on. That's right. The shave supplies are at a great low price of just $2 per blade. Harry's were founded by two regular guys. We know that. They were tired of getting ripped off, Mason. They were tired of Captain America and his beard. They were sick of it. Get rid of it, they said. But he said, I need a quality razor. And they said, we've got you covered.
Got you covered.
So they bought one of those bladed factories. Not bladed factories.
No, a bladed factory.
A bladed,
yeah.
A factory in Germany that had been making razor blades for 99 years. They don't do vibrating heads or heated blades or handles that look like a prop from a sci-fi movie. None of these tactics are used because they're just really, they're there to overcharge you know, consumers for things they definitely do not need. So it's just $2 a blade, which is incredible.
That is such a bargain.
Also, if you don't like Harry's razors,
that's it, but
what a good joke.
That is good. I didn't think that'd be funny, but that was very funny. They said that as if you wouldn't like them.
But you can let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Also, this summer you can refresh your wallet and face with a Harry's razor trial set. It comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip. 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave.
And a wallet oil. Is that where you're going with that? Refresh your wallet?
I wish.
Oh.
No, I don't wish that because it's already a great bargain.
I see.
Rich leathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great and a travel blade cover, which is super handy. Keeps the razor dry and easy on the go.
Get your own wallet oil.
That's right. Listeners of this show can redeem their offer at harrys.com/weeklyplanet. Make sure you go to harrys.com/weeklyplanet to redeem your offer. That lets them know that we sent you to support the show, and we really appreciate that.
Really
it's also
do.
A product that we use incessantly and bang on about incessantly outside of promoted spots.
You
of
might hear
podcast.
A rustling noise.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit like James is scratching himself. No, he's shaving incessantly right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Can't stop him.
It's so smooth, though, Mason. You can't stop me. But really, they're great, and it's a good deal.
You better believe it.
On with the show?
Yes. The moment you've all been waiting for.
Here we go.
It's called The Day the Clown Cried, mm-hmm. an unreleased 1972 Swedish-French drama film directed by and starring Jerry Lewis.
Holy hell.
Mm.
Is it with Disney?
No.
No.
I mean, Disney may own it.
Yeah.
They probably have a copy. Apparently, it's been never... Despite his statements in interviews, he had arranged so the film will never be screened. There are reports he donated a copy of the film to the Library of Congress in 2015 under the stipulation that it wouldn't be screened before June 2024.
June 2024. Okay, that's coming up, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right. You excited?
Yeah. I'd never heard of it. But
no,
yes.
Okay, no, I'm not excited, so. Yeah.
Would you watch that, though?
Absolutely not, no.
Yeah.
No.
Because it's not good, is it?
Surely not, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds funny.
I mean, it's very...
At the end, he is so filled with remorse that he remains with them, the Jewish people in the death camp,
okay.
Taking a young girl's hands and walks with them into the chamber.
The fuck?
It's a comedy, though. No, wait, it's not. It's a drama.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's another, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds very tasteful.
Times, yeah.
Okay, maybe it's brilliant, but it's not. Hey, speaking of old Hollywood.
Yes.
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
This is just me, like, attempting to get you to segue to Hollywood stuff. I'm like, oh, how about Hollywood? Yeah, but old things from Hollywood.
Yeah,
remember
stunt work from Hollywood?
Stunt work, yes.
You got anything to say about that? Nah.
No.
So far, it's made $140 million worldwide, which is great for an R-rated film. Obviously, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, so people are like, what's this hot new director up to in terms of Hollywood productions? And now we know. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is a great.
I've got emphysema.
This is a great joke I did in the previous recording.
It is not. This is fresh. This is fresh and nonsensical.
So here's something
I respect
said.
You taking a swing for the fences there with this new guy, out of breath. Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah,
is that
that's
who
right.
Is?
Yeah.
Who's this hot new director? I like him actually. Now that I've done it, I see the appeal of it.
Okay, good. Well, it's yours.
Thank you.
Brabs Pitt, Mason. I said that before
because of his abs. Gabs,
yeah. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio. Watch them drive around Hollywood until you can't stand it anymore. So
but some people tap out early. Some people will stick around for the whole ride.
What did you
boy, what a ride.
What did you think the story was?
Okay, here we go. It's Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's the late 60s.
I'm just going to close that door because it's hot and cold in here somehow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Nice. So it's bloody Leo's Rick Dalton. He's a man. He's an actor who was a big star in the 50s on TV. He attempted to
transition over to mainstream. Oh,
Did it work?
I closed the door and then the dog just kicked it open.
Nice. For you, dog.
Yeah. So yeah, go on.
He's Burt Reynolds and Steve McQueen all rolled into one. If yes. Neither of those men were successful.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I think Reynolds and McQueen had that trajectory, right? They started doing
TV stuff.
Yeah,
so basically, that's kind of the parallel to this, because the idea of Leonardo DiCaprio's character is that he rose to fame the same time as Steve McQueen, which is, this is sort of mentioned in the movie and we see Steve McQueen, but he was stuck in this 1950s slick pompadour hairstyle kind of tough guy kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And they both had an opportunity to kind of break out and Steve McQueen moved with the time. So we see in this movie and he's got a cool shaggy new do.
He's being played by Damian Lewis in this. And initially I'm like, he doesn't look anything like Steve McQueen. Yeah. And then he turned his head slightly and I'm like, oh my God, Steve McQueen's still alive.
Well, the wig does a lot of the heavy lifting.
The wig, but also the face at certain angles.
Yeah. He does a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now Dalton is sort of, he's been relegated to like the heavy role, which is like... When I watch this, I always think of like Wolverine, because like, you know, Wolverine's the ultimate tough guy.
Sure.
So in a comic book, if you want your new character to be perceived as tough,
you have Wolverine
show up and he beats up Wolverine.
Yeah, right.
And so kind of Dalton is that role now. He shows up on a TV show as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Because people remember him as the old tough guy from his TV show.
Yes.
And then the new character just, you know, kills the heavy or beats him up or
Timothy
whatever.
Timothy Olyphant, if you will.
So exactly. So now he's being relegated to this role, but eventually, you know, he knows his star's going to dim because people will be like, oh, it's that guy who keeps getting beaten up on TV. Like,
exactly
he'll become
right,
that guy, and then people will lose respect for him, and kind of his career is on the...
Where's the luster?
Exactly.
And this isn't said explicitly in the movie, but they've confirmed this outside of it, that he's based on a TV actor of the time who killed himself. Well, they're based on a lot of people, but this particular... actor was, it's suspected now in hindsight, was bipolar.
Right.
And you definitely see that in DiCaprio's character, because one minute he's like, I'm riding high, I'm living next to Sharon Tate and I'm loving life and Hollywood's the best and this is why you live in the hills, baby. And the next minute he's like, why do I do anything?
And that's just, right. Yeah. Exactly. I'm living in the hills. What was I thinking? These hills are so steep.
I got to sell my house. I smoke too much. He does smoke too much. He smokes far too much.
I wonder about this. Do you think that like, Brad Pitt is like, oh my God, I'm loving this.
Well, Brad
I'm
Pitt,
just
yeah,
smoking
he
all
does,
day. I mean,
well,
this is so good.
It's interesting though, because Brad Pitt's character doesn't drink or smoke nearly as much as DiCaprio.
Right.
He seems to do it more as a kind of a leisure activity, and yet DiCaprio's character is heavily reliant on it.
Right.
Do you
notice
that?
Sure. Okay.
Because they both go to the bar, but he gets like a Bloody Mary or whatever, and he'll crack a beer when he gets home. But DiCaprio is all day chaining.
That
I think Brad Pitt doesn't have his first cigarette till he gets home, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm keeping eyes on him. I'm
yeah,
like, well,
yeah,
how,
right.
many, how many You're darts like, you punch in a day, Brad Pitt? Brabs Pitt?
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, Brabs Pitt, dad bod DiCaprio. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right. That's
so,
true, yeah.
I mean, that's a lesson for all of us, I think. Anyway, Brabs Pitt is in this as well. He is formerly Dalton's stunt double, although he doesn't get much work these days. Now he's just sort of like the general dog's body. He's like the gopher.
And he's kind of he's maligned in Hollywood for a reason we will talk about in spoilers.
Yes.
Uh, So he's kind of, yeah, he's mostly odd jobs and
he's odd jobs and he drives Dalton around because Dalton lost his driver's license, yeah. And you know, he fixes problems and stuff. And apparently, like, this part of the character's relationship is based on Burt Reynolds and Hal Needham. Burt Reynolds, the actor.
Yes.
And then Hal Needham, who was his stunt double and friend, who lived in his guest house for like a decade or more.
And it's fascinating to me, this, because the relationship I couldn't understand in this.
Yes.
Like, I like the relationship, but I don't know why those two are friends. It doesn't make sense to me at all. I'm not saying it breaks the movie. I like it, but I'm just confused as to what is this dynamic.
Exactly, and I'm saying that presumably whatever the story is between these characters is the same as the story behind the real life actors, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Like, it does seem bizarre that he would live... They would be two friends who work together and then they live together for a decade in separate houses, essentially. Again, like, maybe it's because they were just great friends, or maybe it's because something in Needham's past meant he couldn't get a house on his own. I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I thought it was okay.
I thought the whole movie was okay.
I thought a lot of it was really good, in particular the DiCaprio. I think if the movie kind of takes a few turns, one in particular at the end, but I found... You didn't really need to do that kind of Tarantino-esque like explosion of violence, I guess, without going too far into it. I think this movie works on its own outside of that, except for the meandering driving, which they really just show every second of taking every corner multiple times, and then you'll see someone back the car out and like you see every bit and all of it.
Yeah. Which I maintain is the style of movies from the 60s where there was a lot of space and they would do that.
Yeah.
You know, because why do a million camera setups of a car from every conceivable angle and make it look dynamic when you just put up one camera and see the car reverse and then go down a driveway? But I mean, maybe I assume that's deliberate on Tarantino's part.
Absolutely, yeah.
But again, this for me, this movie is, again, it's... I liked the ride we went on. It's this slice of life of these characters. But again, every criticism I've read of it since then, and I've spoken to people about, they're all very valid.
Yeah.
This movie is so meandering. The female characters have not a lot to do.
Yep.
They're kind of background. Although I think it does pass the Bechdel test.
Okay, great.
Because Sharon Tate asks a cinema employee if she can see a movie for free.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
So that counts.
Yeah, that counts.
They're talking about a man. So
there we go.
Unless you consider all movies to be men.
I do.
Oh, then it doesn't.
Do you not?
No.
Yeah.
They're beautiful ladies. They're beautiful ladies of the silver screen. That's what they all are. This movie's meandering. But I guess that's the point.
Yeah,
it's Tarantino's love letter to old Hollywood.
And I know a lot of his movies are meandering, on purpose.
Yeah.
I just think there's too much of it in this, in particular the driving, because there's the moment where Brad Pitt goes home to feed his dog.
Yes.
And it's 10 minutes of him getting the dog food and making his mac and cheese. Not eating mac and cheese, that dude. I know what you're up to, Brad Pitt. Don't be tricking me that you're eating mac and cheese and having
Well, you never see him exercise, I don't think.
Well, you see the weights, though. And there's a moment where he's like parkour.
Oh, is he bloody lifting the mac and cheese away? Is he? He's lifting it into his bloody gob, I tell you what.
But there's a bench press out, and he lives in a trailer
just
outside his house. And you see,
he lives in a trailer across from a drive-in movie.
Well, that's
theater.
True.
Mm.
Which actually, I saw an interview with Brad Pitt where he talked about when he was a kid, they used to go down to the drive-in and just watch him there, just walk down and
it's magical.
It's so magical.
Watching the beautiful ladies of the silver screen.
I think
you
mean the gentlemen of the silver screen, basically. Because as we know, all movies are men. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that stuff I enjoy, but then it's like, do you want to see just an open road kind of stretch of Hollywood Freeway and all these old cars that they got back and all the signs that they didn't really put in digitally, they made real signs. Do you want to see that forever? Do you want to see 47 minutes of that in this movie?
Tarantino certainly does, and he's allowed to do that. And some people do, I reckon. But that's the thing.
I can't say I was bored
during
those moments, but I just feel like, what are you adding to this?
Last time we didn't even talk about Pacino.
Mm.
Pacino's in this.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. What's he adding to this?
Ratatata.
Yeah, well,
that's him being a machine gun.
Okay. What other things could he be?
That's it.
This is him being a baby's rattle. Ratatatata.
So, Pacino is just before I forget. Sally Menke, who edited all Tarantino's films up to Inglourious Basterds, and who then passed away just after that, I think has really been missing through these Tarantino films post her death.
And
I think they've become longer and more kind of meandering, and
I mean,
how tight is Pulp Fiction?
No, I agree, and I would 100% agree with you up until Hateful Eight, which I thought was just this bloated mess of a movie.
Okay, sure, yeah.
But I think this is no more meandering than, say, Inglourious Basterds, where you know we see him talking about the milk, you know, getting a serve of milk, or like the point where Christoph Waltz's character, you know, is served the apple strudel, and there's a long lingering shot of the cream being put on the side of the apple strudel or whatever.
Okay, I agree with you, but what if you saw that 8 times? Because that's what this movie is. You see the same, like, he comes out of DiCaprio's house and takes that same corner at the bottom of the hill. And then off they go. And I guess it's later to set up the, like, the establishing shot of where the house is because of the Sharon Tate situation, which we'll get into more in spoilers.
The old Sharon Tate sitch.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah. I had a theory, which I thought I really fleshed out very well in my last podcast.
It's a shame.
So I'm coming back to it.
Oh, you're going to have to give us the dot points now.
Okay, so here we go. So I think Brad Pitt's character, without spoiling, like, the origin of that character.
Wait, I have a theory.
Okay.
It's Brad Pitt's character is a sociopath.
God damn it.
Yes. I've got so many notes on this. Here we go. Let me think of one. No, you go ahead. This is your theory.
Yeah, so basically he's a sociopath, maybe even a psychopath, because he has the traits of somebody like that in terms of he's a lot of these people who it's more psychopaths. They can't hold down proper jobs. They do odd jobs here to there. They present very well initially.
They overtrain their dogs.
Yeah, that's right. Like, they'll present well initially. They can have bursts of charisma and seemingly fine, but they can't, like, long term, can't really hold down a job, kind of go from this to that, to trying to, I guess it's the lack of interest, lack of empathy, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And his character has traits of that. And the other thing is, his dog he trains to, like, it reflects him in so many ways, because it's like this coiled spring ready to go. Like, and the same way that it seems like a nice and friendly dog up to a point where you let it loose and then it's insane.
Ooh.
Which is exactly what his character's like. And I feel like he's almost like the pet of Leonardo DiCaprio in the same way that the dog is his pet. And that's kind of how I see that that character in this movie. Just this lunatic under the guise of a happy-go-lucky stuntman who's got good abs.
Right. Look, the last time you explained this theory, I'm like, that's hogwash.
Mm.
Utter hogwash. I still think it's hogwash. No, you know what? I think you're right, and maybe he is a sociopath.
I don't know even if it's intentional, but that's
just
how
I think maybe the idea that he's, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio is his master. I think that's a little bit weird. But I just think they're good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they are.
It's good to have good friends, you know?
It is good to have good friends. Yes. It's interesting that a lot of the flashbacks of this to the other work that DiCaprio did, we get a... Because he dreams that he could have been in The Great Escape, and they put him into that movie. It's pretty seamless. You don't really see effects like that in Tarantino movies. Fully, obviously, CGI, Forrest Gump-esque, insert yourself
in
the history.
Well, I think maybe that this, and maybe we'll talk about it in spoilers, that this is a movie where he's gone, well, this is my 9th movie and I've said I'm only going to do 10. Mm. So maybe I'll teach an old dog myself some new tricks and maybe subvert people's expectations of what you get from a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel pretty Tarantino-y.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
I think there's some, you know.
So I just look down and I feel like I broke your concentration then, because I look down at the recorder and then you look down at the recorder.
Like, what's happening on the recorder?
It seems fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they insert DiCaprio into FBI and some other
place
old
of Burt
westerns
Reynolds, yeah.
and some spaghetti westerns, some crap spaghetti westerns from that era, which he didn't really want to make.
Uh-huh.
But yet with the Sharon Tate stuff, it's Margot Robbie, like, going to the theater to watch herself in a movie, but it's the real Sharon Tate. They don't put her into that.
Yeah.
And it's a homage, I assume.
I would imagine
more than
exactly,
anything.
Yeah.
And also, it'd be expensive to put her in everything. Like, you know, all those shots that they show in that movie. Also, they're mostly focused on her feet, aren't they?
Exactly true. There's so many feet shots in this movie.
Less than I thought, because I heard there were many.
Right.
So I was.
But I feel like more
I was
than
expecting
one is many.
Feet-a-palooza, mate.
Sure. Right.
Or is it foot-a-palooza?
Yes, it's either one of those.
Okay. Great.
It's your call.
Great. Yeah. The Sharon Tate stuff is. We'll have to talk about more in spoilers, but it doesn't seem to mesh with. I'm not sure what. What are we doing in all of this whole thing?
And I look in. You know, I do recall that there's a comic book writer called Garth Ennis, who has written many things. He wrote Preacher and The Boys, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And when he started writing comic books, he just started writing, like, relationship dramas, people in Ireland or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he got into DC stuff, like DC Comics, superhero comics, and it's just him talking about how much he hates superheroes. And then The Boys is that ultimate, like, oh my God, so rude stuff. And we
so
had
many super, rude boys.
So many rude boys, and all these superheroes, and everybody's getting murdered, and horrible things happening to you. And I always wonder if, like, regardless of how shocking or whatever any of that stuff is, I think his dialogue is always great, and his relationships between characters are always great. And I wonder if it's just like he always just wanted to write relationships, and he had to do it through the vehicle of superhero comic books, and he should just go and do...
Because otherwise he'd be making small independent comics for
nothing. But yeah. And I feel like maybe it's the same with Tarantino. Like, maybe he just wants to write relationship stuff, and he needs to build a bizarre world around it to get people's attention or something like that.
But I think he also enjoyed, like, he enjoys the... I think the craft and the explosions of violence and the unconventional kind of structures and things like that.
Yeah, and I also feel like, and apparently the script for this originally was going to be quite different. Like, the Sharon Tate murders were going to be front and center, and I think maybe Brad Pitt was on board as a detective investigating this murder.
Yeah.
And then maybe it just evolved to the point where he's like, well, I'm not that interested in the Sharon Tate stuff, really.
Yeah, I guess you may very well be right. We'll talk about Bruce Lee more in spoilers,
okay.
I guess, Bruce Lee is in this. And I just want to quickly say that...
I mean, he's not in this.
No.
A man dressed as Bruce Lee is in this.
A man with a wig is doing some Bruce Lee stuff.
That's correct, yes.
He's good, though. Like, he nails the voice in particular. But I thought the Playboy Mansion was pretty...
It's very tame. You'd expect... Again, this is the summer of love. It's, you know, Manson murders, all that sort of stuff. I was expecting this to be a lot more lurid and kind of shocking than it really was.
Yeah.
For the most part, this movie is very... Is mundane the right word?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't also think to its detriment either. No. Yeah.
And again, you're either... I think you're either going to enjoy this or you're not.
Well, I thought it was fine.
Okay,
so.
Good. Or be in the middle and think it was fine like James did.
But, you know, I think it's one of those things I will come back to in a couple of years. And again, I just need to stop saying this because I already said this, but nobody else has heard this except for you. I enjoyed, there's a movie, Hail Caesar, from a few years back from the Coen Brothers, which focuses on this era of filmmaking and this old Hollywood system. And I enjoyed that, I think, more than I enjoyed this. Probably because of the tap dancing, but... but I just,
and the presence of Channing Tatum.
Of course,
has Channing
Mason.
Tatum done any Tarantino, anything?
Yes.
What did he do? I can't Hateful remember. Eight. It was in Hateful Eight. There we go. Okay, cool.
It's a bit of a spoiler, but it's been out for... 15 years?
It's been out for 15 years. And it seems like 15 years.
You're not wrong, Mason. 15 bloody years in the cinema watching that bloody long-ass film. They're making it into a Netflix series, though, with extra footage.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Oh, wait, when you say that, do you mean they got the existing movie?
Yes.
Okay, so they're not making a new Hateful Eight series.
No.
They're getting the existing movie Hateful Eight.
Apparently it changes the whole kind of narrative.
How much footage did he film?
Like maybe 6 hours or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we saw 5.5 of those in the cinema.
We should have.
Got him. Got him. Yeah. Got him. He's a good filmmaker, but got him.
Got him. The rest of it's just foot shots. Yeah. It's a real soul-a-palooza.
Oh, very good.
Ball-a-palooza?
Toe-a-palooza.
Ball-a-palooza toe?
that's it.
That's it, yeah.
Spoilers. So this movie plays like Inglourious Bastards in the sense that it's a revisionist history.
Oh, best movie ever, in
okay,
my opinion.
There we go.
What about you?
I said that, Mason.
Okay, right.
I said fine and best movie ever.
Okay, right.
But maybe I said it earlier.
I think
I don't
you
know.
Said it last time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a revisionist history of the Sharon Tate murders where we follow Sharon Tate through this entire film and there's this ominous sense of like she's going to get murdered, she's about to get murdered, and then it's Brad Pitt kills all the hippies.
Sure, yeah.
With Leonardo DiCaprio's assistance.
Maybe they should have called it that. Once upon a time in Hollywood, maybe that's on the DVD cover. Once upon a time, .. in Hollywood brackets. Brad Pitt kills all the hippies with help from Leonardo DiCaprio.
Who has a flamethrower. I mean, the flamethrower gag's incredible.
Yes.
Obviously, I feel like this whole movie is just a setup for that one, you know, that reveal that he's still got the flamethrower that he had in his old movie.
Is it meant to be, like...
Hard to believe it would still work, Mason.
Me too. I would have thought something fuel lines blocked up. Mm. I don't know. Is it meant to be, like, catharsis for, like... Because that I feel like that's what Inglourious Basterds was.
I felt that, like, definitely, yeah.
Oh my God, doesn't it feel good to have Hitler machine gunned in a theatre?
Yeah, but I didn't feel catharsis during this. I felt sad that at the end, after they've killed the hippies, and we'll come back to that, DiCaprio gets to walk up to Sharon Tate's house and he's back in the big leagues of Hollywood. But all I'm thinking is she was really murdered. She was like 9 months pregnant. She was stabbed to death. The baby died. They killed like other people in that house.
Yeah.
Like it was a horrible event.
Yeah, I initially thought, well, what's going to happen is here is either Pitt and DiCaprio are going to scare these people off, and then they're going to go to Sharon Tate's house, or they're going to kill Brad Pitt and Sharon. They're going to kill Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio's characters, and then move on to the Sharon Tate's house. But then, obviously, that didn't happen. I felt shades of, you know, when Mark Wahlberg said he could stop 9/11 if he was there.
Imagine if he was there.
Oh my God! But I feel like it's this, like, what we need is a couple of big burly American heroes to go and kill those hippies, and then this tragedy would not have occurred.
I guess the difference also between this and Inglourious Basterds in terms of revenge fantasy is Hitler really did die and the Germans did lose World War II.
And that's what they want you to think.
That's what they want us to think. But in this, so it was at the tail end of World War II regardless.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The result is the same.
The result is
big win for the Allies. The same.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But in this, the result is hugely different. Apparently after the Tate murders and because of Vietnam and such, like that golden era of Hollywood disappeared. And I do wonder if was the idea that this golden era would have continued on just that little bit longer if Sharon Tate hadn't have been murdered.
What if Tarantino's 10th movie is that?
What's that? Like,
what, it's a sequel to this.
I think it's going to be something different again. It could even be Star Trek for some reason.
Yeah, that's true.
You remember.
But like, what if the next movie he does is imagine Hollywood if the golden age of Hollywood had never ended, kind of thing.
But the other thing is, this is probably set in the Pulp Fiction universe, and things must get bad eventually at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, I see.
This is all one loose cinematic universe. We've talked about it in prior episodes. But yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know, Mason.
We just don't know.
Yeah. And also, I think, so the violence against the hippies, they were terrible, terrible people.
Yes.
Some of them are still alive. They may even all
still
be alive.
Manson family is still alive. Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Charles Manson died a couple of years ago.
That's what they want you to think.
He did. He's dead, for real, which is good because he's a big prick. I was watching Mindhunter this week. He shows up in that. And I was watching some Manson interviews, and he's just intolerable, like pseudo-intellectual.
Was that YouTube algorithm that did that? You're watching stuff with your kid, and then it was like, up next,
Charles Manson. But it's just all like, who's really in the prison, me or you?
It's you, Charles Manson.
The guy who's carved the Nazi symbol into his head.
It's the guy who can't go out for lunch, because I can go out for lunch if I want to.
Yeah, but who's really in the prison?
Oh, that's a really good point.
I mean, him, still.
But I only have a limited number of lunch choices near where I live, so.
That's a good point.
Who's really in the prison when you think
about
it?
Who's really in the prison? So the idea of Brad Pitt's character in this is that he probably murdered his wife.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to deny it.
Right.
But maybe he doesn't feel the need to explain himself to people.
I guess Tarantino doesn't need to explain. Like, again, not every movie has to.
Oh, no, I'm not saying I need an answer.
No, I know, but also, like, I feel also we're programmed to demand an answer now from everything. Like, everything needs to be wrapped up in a neat little bow.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a series of clues dotted about in the movie and series of Easter eggs where we can determine for sure. And I'm sure Tarantino will be asked in future in every subsequent interview, did Booth kill his wife?
And yes.
Yes. Do you think he did?
From the flashback, he had a spear gun. Yeah.
I mean, where is she now?
Yeah. At bottom of the ocean, presumably.
I was going to say heaven, but all right. With those beautiful ladies at the silver screen.
And Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah. But also, like, I felt like at the end, and not every movie needs a lesson.
But also, side note, it's also the era where, like, nowadays, if you're like, is that person divorced or did he kill his wife? You can just look the wife up on Facebook.
Yeah, well, that's
you can't
true.
Do that now. You can't.
Do you think somebody who probably killed their wife now,
yes,
or was heavily suspected, would still be working in Hollywood? Like at this point in time?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, less so now.
Are you talking about somebody specifically?
No. I mean, this probably happened, but you know, it's this. You know, it's after the Weinstein stuff and all of that. I think there's less likely that Brad Pitt would be. People would just let him wander around.
The
sets.
Actor Brad Pitt.
No, not
having
him,
murdered
obviously.
His wife, Jennifer Aniston.
That's right. Yes.
Well.
I know not all movies kind of need a point and a lesson, but I guess from the end of this, from the conclusion that I got, Brad Pitt, a man who probably murdered his wife, gets redemption by murdering some other people.
Yep.
Who the only reason that we kind of feel cathartic that he would murder them is because we know that they were going to murder more people.
In our universe,
The people in this movie don't necessarily know that. DiCaprio tortures one with a flamethrower who just happens to fall into his pool with a gun.
Yes.
And he hits her with a flamethrower. I mean, if...
I mean, they were going to murder him.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't know that necessarily.
But Brad Pitt knew that.
Brad Pitt knew that, yes. But he didn't see Brad Pitt fighting them in there. He didn't see Brad Pitt smashing one of their heads into a...
That's true.
Into a
glass but I also feel like Rick Dalton is the kind of guy who's like, if you come into my house for any reason, even if you've come into my house by accident, now you're leaving my house.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
With this flamethrower. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that is probably true. But I guess the point is... Brad Pitt got to do some murders. And Leonardo DiCaprio gets to work with Roman Polanski, who's a pedophile and a rapist, and then fled the country and has been living comfortably in France for decades.
I feel like maybe this... The more that I think about it, the more I feel like that his 10th movie is going to be this weird continuation of the Golden Age of Hollywood. Maybe Rick Dalton and Booth are going to team up and murder Roman Polanski.
He doesn't generally seem to go back to characters. Like, he'll recast.
But that's what I'm saying.
But then again, he will do, like, two Westerns in a row. Yes. Two crime thrillers in a row.
That's what I'm talking about.
So,
and maybe,
yeah.
You know... I feel at least some of this movie is like him subverting expectations. I mean, like, okay, well, you expect there to be a grisly thing happening every 10 minutes.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard. So go on.
Thank you.
It's a joke from earlier. Earlier movie. It's from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah, okay, great. Okay, terrific. And maybe he's just like, well, I'm going to have a... You know, there's going to be some ratcheting of tension.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be some bros being bros.
BBB.
Exactly. BBB.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you might be
and
right.
And then just a little burst of a little something special for the fans at the end.
I just don't think we'd necessarily... I don't mind violence in movies. It doesn't really bother me at all. I mean, this was some...
I love violence
fairly,
in movies.
This was some really gruesome, horrendous stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I just don't think that wasn't the most interesting part for me. The interesting part was this man, DiCaprio, struggling to kind of adjust to this new era of Hollywood and just the new era of the world.
It's a metaphor for
not being able to get a boner.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
Okay. I was going to say it's a metaphor for Quentin Tarantino. Maybe we're both right.
But I think, well, he's never kind of gone out of favor, has he?
Or gotten a boner.
Is that true?
I don't know.
One that's not foot related, I assume.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Got him. But good on him. You can like what you want. And he's not hurting anyone with that, is he?
That's true.
Boner doesn't work.
No, I get it.
Let's talk about Bruce Lee then.
Okay.
So there's some controversy surrounding that because Bruce Lee's daughter's come out and said it wasn't a very respectful interpretation of her father.
I see.
He would never have said that he could have beat up Muhammad Ali or whatever. Other people are saying, well, he actually, you know, he was a nice guy, but there was an arrogance to him and he maybe did say that in passing it at some point or another. Could he actually beat up Muhammad Ali? I have no idea. But Quentin Tarantino, the way he addresses it is that... Because Cliff Booth is a fictional character.
Yes.
That's like saying, well, could Batman beat up Bruce Lee?
Yeah, right.
You know, could Batman beat up the Hulk or whatever? It's not a real scenario.
Sure, right,
So could Cliff Booth beat up Bruce Lee?
He's a Hollywood archetype.
It's,
yeah,
it's
for sure.
Fictional in this universe, yes.
Yeah, right.
But I can also see how if that was, say, someone I was close to or my dad... And then somebody made a fictionalized goofball.
Wait, Bruce Lee's your dad.
Bruce Lee's my dad in this scenario.
Okay, right.
And someone made a fictional kind of goofball representation of him.
Yep.
And then he got beat up on screen. That would be kind of like.
So it's a fictional goofball representation of a man beating up your real life goofball dad.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
okay, right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, I see both sides of the coin. I'm a very measured man.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and I also get the sense that initially I thought we were talking about this earlier. I initially got the sense that that was a dream sequence, but I think you might be right. It might also be a flashback. That's what
or his interpretation of flashback.
Yeah, and I think it might be. Yeah,
we came to that conclusion, didn't we?
Exactly. It's his recollection of what happened, and maybe. In that recollection, Bruce Lee's way more arrogant than...
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, stunt coordinator, shout out. What was her name again?
Zoe Bell.
Yeah. Stunt woman for Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. And she's on that car.
She's on the car in Death Proof. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's true. It's interesting she didn't get any...
Stunt stuff?
Stunts in this, unless she's...
Didn't you say she was stunt coordinator?
She's a stunt coordinator. The stunt coordinator and she plays the stunt coordinator in the movie.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's so meta. But maybe she's also...
I didn't even realize... No, sorry. Ratatata! Baby's rattle.
Okay. No, that was Salt Shaker, but he's been shrunk to a tiny size, so it seems enormous to him. Oh, no, it's the Salt Shaker. Ratatata! Look, we've lost the Seinfeld impression, but I think we've gained a very good Pacino impression, so I think it's okay.
But sorry, yeah, so she's interesting that she's a stunt coordinator.
But she does no stunts in this, I assume. I don't know.
Yeah. I liked her acting.
I imagine you only have a limited amount of time to be a stunt performer in Hollywood before you're like, oh, my bones and organs. I can't do this anymore.
A lot of these guys do it for a while. Yeah, like there's some older guys, like 60 plus or whatever. Yeah, because you want, if you're getting like an Arnold type, you want someone who kind of matches him, not completely age wise, but you know, they have their stunt guys for decades. You know,
yeah, I guess a lot that's of these true, guys. Yeah.
Mm. And that's the world we live in, of Hollywood, more like Hollyweird.
Oh my God, on the way over here. Nice.
You didn't hear it, Mason, but I...
You put in some laugh track, I know.
Yeah. No, that was real laughter.
Oh, from the studio audience.
That's right.
Finally, we got a reaction out of our studio audience. They've been here 298 episodes.
99.
And, oh, yeah. It's amazing they still have the power to laugh.
I know.
After, you know, just hearing all our jokes again.
Again and again. There's one more thing. I'm sure I've missed stuff that I've said last time that I feel like I wish I'd have said this time, but I feel like the revenge that Brad Pitt got on these hippies was less impactful from the fact that they weren't the ones that he strictly interacted with.
Yeah, right.
Like the Lena Dunham character, the one who hitchhiked, he met Tex.
Yeah.
But like the Dakota Fanning character, like, you know, the one he had the confrontation with. I like that whole scene in the fake Western town.
Yeah.
Because
it
was,
felt like a spaghetti Western.
Yeah, it was very spaghetti Western. So yeah, this movie is not without things that I went, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Is that Al Pacino? It is. Sorry, everyone. I like to talk out loud. But
it's quite obvious in retrospect. It looks exactly like him, and he talks like him. He said that rat-a-tat thing that he does. Why am I still talking? You guys are trying to enjoy this movie.
Hang on, I just need to make a phone call. If everyone could just... it's not even a fictional...
Claire, can you believe this?
Anyway, it's pretty good for a lot of it.
I think it
is. A lot of people have said Tarantino rankings. Where would you put this in his movies?
Oh,
in the Medell?
It's a good question. I think towards the top, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's
I think it's more towards top than bottom, definitely.
It's no Pulp Fiction, certainly.
No.
But it is way better than, for example, The Hateful Eight.
And that car one.
That car
yeah,
one, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's probably more middle for me. But I don't dislike any of his films, really.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. There's none of them that I'm like, that is absolute dog shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. Do we know what his... Did you watch some interviews with him?
Yeah.
Do you know what was his impetus for making this even?
One of the things he said when he was a kid, he grew up in Hollywood and he used to drive around cars with his stepdad. And there was constantly just...
He used to drive around cars.
Yeah, drive
in
around
another
cars,
car.
In another car. Wow. Yeah.
He'd pick a victim on the street, you know, a little slow, and he'd be like... Vroom. No, I understand. He drove around in a car with his dad.
And he was
right.
Like, we never changed the radio station. He's like, even when the ads came on, we wouldn't even turn it down. We'd just yell over the top of the ads or whatever. That was Hollywood. That was movie magic.
Oh, my God. Was that just Pacino on the radio? No, I understand that. Yeah, like, and there's these... What I kind of like those established... You know, there's that scene. There's kind of a montage where... it's late at night and all the famous Hollywood Boulevard landmarks light up and you have Musso and Frank Steiner and blah, blah, blah. And it's all very magical. It felt very Ocean's 11.
It did.
The good one, not the bad one.
I was going to say, which one, Mason?
I mean, the good one, but shades of the bad one.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Era-wise.
That's right.
What a movie Ocean's 11 was.
I agree.
The original one.
Oh.
In terms of being...
We're
going to
do that.
Crap.
There's three of those weird Rat Pack movies. We've done two of them. We got to do the third one.
Yeah. We'll do it. Hopefully we lose that one in the recording.
Oh, my God. We can only hope.
All right, Mason. Do you know what it's time for?
Is it time for our famous segment, what we reading, what we're going to read? Do you want to pause and check the recording?
I do, but first I'm going to put in the theme song because I can do it via my computer.
I understand that, sure.
So just give me a sec.
All right.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today? Can sing it as I hear it.
I get it.
I harmonize with myself. That's... Maybe I could incredible. Do layers of that every week.
Oh, an additional layer every week. I mean, you could do that also, or we could not use this device ever again. Yeah.
Mason, knowing what you've read already.
Oh, yes.
Let's skip this because I think
okay, cool.
It's so boring. You got a boring one this week.
Nah, come on, mate.
Nah, what do you got?
Nah, well, listen, on the way over here, I've been listening to it recently.
Yes.
Our part, I'm going to start again.
No, this is excellent.
Okay, then. Our friends over at Batch Pitch. I've been listening to that as part of the Planet Broadcasting Network. This sounds like an ad, but it's not an ad. I was like...
It's an endorsement.
This is an endorsement because
it's a lifestyle brand.
Our friends Naomi Higgins and Danielle Walker,
yes,
host that. They're super, super funny. You might know Naomi Higgins from the Gamey Game show on YouTube.
I do know that.
And you might know Danielle Walker from just being funny in general.
That's true.
Their podcast where they talk about all things of The Bachelor and reality TV. It's not really about The Bachelor or reality TV. They're just being funny.
Yeah, well, no podcast is really about the thing it's supposed to be about.
Thank God.
In the tradition of great podcasts.
Exactly. You have to sort of, if you really want a podcast about The Bachelor and reality TV, you have to sort of, you have to go around the block a little bit.
Absolutely.
You'll find it eventually.
Do, yeah.
But no, but it's, you know, because The Bachelor's not always on, but it is back.
Yes.
It's back, and that reminded me. It's not a show
the
that
Bachelor.
I watch. Bachelor. It's not a show that I watch or care about, but that's not the point. You can. I would absolutely recommend listening to this podcast, even if you have zero interest in The Bachelor, because they're bloody breaking down reality TV. They're canceling people left and right. It's so good.
You were talking about the hilarious way that that they break people down over a period of months in these shows.
Well, I was under the impression that, and I only learned recently, I thought the how like a show The Bachelor worked was people just, all the contestants and whatever, just lived their normal lives, and then they were like, okay, we're going to record an episode, and then everybody went to the mansion or the house or whatever it is, and then they just, you know, The Bachelor picked somebody out and they went on a date and everybody else went home.
Osher Gunsberg,
exactly. But the American, whoever's on the American one, Carson Daly, that can't be right.
Ryan Seacrest's brother.
Brian Seacrest. But What I didn't know is that that's not how it works. But basically, all the women in the case of The Bachelor have to go on leave from their job or quit their job or just not have a job, and they all move them into the house for a period of months.
Yeah, no social media, nothing to read, nothing to do, no
exercise, no television.
I think they have a gym because they have to keep in shape.
Apparently, in some of these kinds of shows, they just have to run up and down stairs all day.
Oh, that's
insane. Because there's nothing there. But yeah, and they just drink all day and like form unhealthy social bonds.
Because that's what you'd have to do.
And then
some of them don't get dates for like 2 months.
Well, exactly, and all they do is they just wait in this house for the batch, this golden man to show up and be like, I choose you. And they're
put
like,
him in a helicopter.
Oh my God. And then, yeah, and exactly. And it's just kind of like,
I love Brett Silverstein.
And it's such a, it's, I didn't know that it was such, this such a.
I'm going to Google Brett Silverstein in case it's like a murder or something.
Okay, right. Okay. And then you'll really love him. But then it's like this cult environment. I had no idea. Like, and I'm curious as to whether they're built from the ground up like a cult. They're like, okay.
Brett Silverstein rate my professor is the second result.
Oh, Jesus.
Rate. I said rate.
Okay, well, that's okay, yeah. That's all right then. But or like, I wonder if it's like, you know, they build these shows based on a cult. They're like, well, how do we get everybody on those shows to go crazy?
Yeah.
We'll make them like cults. Or do they just build this stuff up and then they went, oh, this is like a cult. Like, it's...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did they create
it
independently? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting.
Anyway, Batch Bitch is a really good podcast. Yeah. It's super funny. I'm just listening to it on the way here, and I'm bloody loving it. So get into that, I reckon.
Okay, what I'm going to recommend this week is Brett Silverstein, professor over at the psychology department of the City College of New York.
How's he being rated over there?
He's got a 4.3, which is not bad, but a lot of really positive reviews. Apparently, the difficulty level of his class is around a 3, but the overall quality is verging on a 4. There's a few kind of lower marks here, but people want to jump over to rate my professor.
It sounds like to me that the difficulty is low and that's why the rating is high. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's very possible. Mm. I mean, it's not all glowing reviews, but I think considering the amount of people who would have taught, 4.3 is not actually bad at all.
Hey, and quick side note.
Mm.
What are you actually recommending this week, you son of a bitch?
You don't like my second take at this Brett Silverstein gag?
No, I like it. It's so good.
This is not this is the first time I've done this.
Is it? Who knows what's real anymore? You're like, do you think this Brett Silverstein gag will play the second time? I'm like, absolutely, it'll play.
So I'm reading Star Wars Target
and
Vader.
What are you really reading, you fine gentleman? And you're like, call me a bitch. That's what he said earlier.
Star Wars Target Vader.
Oh, that's right.
It feels like an old school Star Wars legend comic where, especially like character designs, because it's like, what if this man had half a robot face? So it's a series like bounty hunters who are tasked with killing Darth Vader. But of course, being the Star Wars universe and knowing that Darth Vader dies a different way, they probably won't succeed. But it's kind of a fun, like, get a team together, stop a Darth Vader comic. And there's a lot of get a team together, stop a Darth Vader comics.
There really are.
And this is one of them.
When you said this, when you recommended this last time, I'm like, is he thinking about Vader Down?
Oh, yeah, Vader Down's good. But have you read the actual Darth Vader comic, the Charles Soule
one? Oh, that's all just him, just people trying to take him down.
No, it's that's like focused exclusively on him. Like it's from his perspective. You should read that one. Okay, I know you hate Star Wars.
I do.
And me and Brett Silverstein because of his great teaching techniques.
I think he goes too easy on people. They're not going to learn that way, are they?
I would just think it was hilarious if Brett Silverstein got like 1,000 ratings.
Don't do it. If you're going to rate him...
good.
No, see, I feel like you shouldn't rate him because if you rate him high and he actually is a bad professor.
Yeah, good point.
But if he's good and you rate him negatively, it might affect his employment opportunities.
Okay, you know what you're going to do? Go in and give him a 4.3, which is what he's currently on, so it doesn't affect the ratings.
Is that how it works? Okay.
I don't know. Okay, anyway, that's what I'm reading.
All right. Okay.
And are you ready to...
What's the art like?
It's old school, kind of feels like Star Wars Legends. He's like wacky.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
You know, the kind of like the 90s kind of...
Yeah.
Your Shadows of the Empire. Your,
yes.
Your other comics that they had in the 90s.
Nice, very good.
Next thing?
Oh, yeah, letters.
The classic one was letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. And now they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
This time around, I was ready because I have a new phone this week.
You do?
I was ready with the correct position of the speakers.
Yes.
And the volume is way up.
That was quite the ordeal first time around. Good thing we did this entire thing again. I just quickly, we got some reviews for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Kendra says, just saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and I give it best movie ever. Great cast and I love the 60s Hollywood aesthetic. Brad and Leo still got it. And Alex says... I just got out of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I did not enjoy it. Pretty much every woman was giving nothing to do but dance or hitchhike and look pretty. The plot followed this happened, then this happened with no consequences. Worst Tarantino movie ever. So there you go. Two different opinions from two different people, presumably.
And both completely valid.
Yes. Mason.
Yes.
We are in the letters segment of
absolutely.
The show, which means several things, mostly letters related.
Oh, should I read a letter?
Did I say how to get letters? Did I?
weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter. What do you got, Mason? Nice. What do you got?
First, I've got one from Tom Hartwell. It says, hi, James and Nick. That's us.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm a longtime fan of the show. Thank you. And just checked out Ben's play, thanks to your recommendation in the new West End Theatre segment of your podcast.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I would
excellent reviews, even above that of Brett Silverstein.
My goodness, 4.4?
5 stars all round.
Wow.
I think I might have seen 1 for 4, but that might have been out of like 20.
But I mean, when you round down, that's 4.4.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
I've been running my own podcast for the past 2 years called the London Theatre Podcast. We chat with actors, directors, playwrights, etc., including earlier this year, Kit Harington of the great Game of Thrones.
Kitberg Harington.
Anyway, so I got to chat with Ben about his career so far, both on stage and as a YouTube video editor, and thought your listeners might be interested in getting a brief behind-the-scenes peek as to how Ben works. Absolutely.
I think people should definitely check that out.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's called the?
It's called the London Theatre Podcast.
Get a bit of insight.
Yes.
Do you like insight, Mason?
Yes.
That's the perfect opportunity for you then.
For insight?
To get some of that, yeah.
Getting of the insight, yeah.
You
nice.
Know it is. Nice. As from Robert Farley says, with the upcoming Zombieland 2, who, if anyone, would you like to appear in a la Bill Murray cameo? I personally would like to see Dan Aykroyd and he's killed by someone hitting him on the head with a crystal skull or a copy of the DVD. Indiana Jones 4 or kill Shia LaBeouf dead. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Well, I said last time, in the spirit of Ghostbusters alumni Rick Moranis,
sure,
of also of Honey I Shrunk the Kids fame, but now that I think about it, maybe Al Pacino shrunk really tiny.
I'm so small. That's a big jar of rocks.
Exactly.
He's running out of things to to the rat-a-tat.
I see, right. He's just trying to justify the catchphrase at this point. Right, I get it. All right. I understand.
So, well, we were thinking 80s. I mentioned Kurt Russell because he did a lot of horror stuff in the
80s. Yeah, for sure.
You could get a Jim Belushi if you want to do a Blues Brothers 2000 situation. Actually, he's not in that, is he? He was supposed to be, but then they put him in. They replaced him.
Okay, right.
With, you know what his name?
A copy of According to Jim on DVD. They just put it on a chair.
No, John Goodman.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Is Robert Englund still alive? Freddy Krueger?
I believe he is, yeah.
Okay, right.
But do you think he's famous enough where people would go, Englund?
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe not. Maybe put Zack Snyder in there. Dawn of the Dead guy.
But again, is he acting like, is he doing
I don't know. I don't know what he does.
I know he's got no sugar on his sets. What does that mean in terms of...
Also, did the zombie apocalypse happen before? No, it did happen before Dawn of the Dead, right?
2009, so no, after.
Oh.
I actually just watched it today, funnily enough, yeah. Okay. And we've maybe got an episode coming up for Caravan of Garbage, don't we?
Yes, yeah, we do.
It's true-esque.
So, okay, so maybe not Zack Snyder. Mm.
Who's an 80s kind of big star horror? What about an Eddie Murphy?
Sure, I'd say that. Yeah. He's coming back. There's a trailer. Did you see the trailer for Dolomite?
Yeah.
Which is the story of the man who invented the Dolomite character, the blaxploitation character.
Never seen a single second of those movies.
I don't know if that movie's going to be any good, but I might watch 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, I'll check out Eddie Murphy doing a thing. Because Marlon Wayans is doing the Eddie Murphy thing now. He's got that show on Netflix where he's like, I'm playing six people. Two of them are fat.
What are the other four?
Women or something. I don't know. These hilarious gags.
So two fat people, two ladies of the silver screen. I get it.
Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really, no.
Yeah, anyway. No. Is it Marlon Wayans or Damon Wayans? Doesn't matter. I think it's Marlon. Anyway, so Marlon Wayans would be perfect, is what we're saying, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
We arrived at the same conclusion at the same time.
What about Judge Reinhold?
Is he popular enough?
I don't know. What about Jason Bateman?
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
He's like a young Bill Murray. Yeah.
It's a Teen Wolf situation, you know?
It's called Sextuplets on...
Okay.
I'm just going to check the reviews.
They're all bad.
Bad.
Great. Incredible.
Though 84% of people like this film, but it's got 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. Roger Ebert gave it 1.5.
All right then.
1 out of 4. I don't know why I said 1.5. That was not even close to what
In
I looked
fairness,
at.
In fairness, it's very late that. At night right
it's
now.
It's incredibly late. One more tweet here from Cap who says, out of all the Fox movies that Disney have killed off, which of them, if any, do you think have real potential to be actually good? LXG, League of Stormy Gentlemen.
Oh, I see.
Flash Gorbin. Chronicle 2.
Did you say Flash Gorbin?
Yep. Chronicle 2.
You're thinking of...
McClane.
You're thinking of Flash Groban, the singer. I mean, his name's Josh Groban, but I call him Flash Groban.
Yeah, because he's so showing his penis to everybody all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
Or McClane.
You have no idea how accurate that is.
Is that really?
No, I don't think it's true. Okay. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I'll tell you later. It's an off-air conversation.
Really?
Yep.
So McClane is a diehard prequel.
Yeah, right.
Could any of these be good? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, potentially.
Yeah, look, I don't know. If they could give us a relaunch of that, they'd have to scrap it and start again, I think.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. 100%.
And I also feel like maybe Penny Dreadful did it better than League of Extraordinary Gentlemen
did. Gone?
I don't think. I think it got 2 seasons or 3, yeah, right, something like that. Yeah. What are other ones?
Chronicle
Flash Groban.
Flash Groban. Mm-hmm. Chronicle 2 is like 6 years too late, and yeah. Max Landis. So
I feel like all the avenues that Chronicle could have explored if it got a sequel immediately have kind of been done by so many other things. Brightburn and just... superhero movies in general.
Yeah.
They've really kind of...
The 7 that we've got every year.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's been thoroughly covered, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Flash Gordon was going to be Taika Waititi. There was talk about animated, maybe. So that could have been something because, you know, the 80s.
Sure, right. I mean, animated Voltron worked out really well.
It did. It's great.
It was animated before, but, you know.
But now it's more animated.
More animated,
ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's McClane, which is...
Die Hard. Pretty cool.
Which I'm kind of... Yeah, you were mentioning how that what adventures had the Bruce Willis been on before he was Jason Die Hard?
And you think nothing?
I think just like Traffic Cop. That's what
sure,
I think.
Right?
Yeah, or maybe just a man like combing over his hair in the mirror.
Yeah, real slice of life.
Real slice of life, you know?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I don't think you would de-age Bruce Willis because he doesn't care about anything anymore, and so you'd have to recast. And would people even be into that?
I wonder if there is anything that can get Bruce Willis back into caring about movies.
I reckon no.
Okay, then, definitive. And I know you're a yes and guy, so
that's me.
Pretty definitive if you're like, no, absolutely not.
Okay, well, I guess the last thing he sort of cared about was the Splitterverse.
No, he did not.
In the last, I mean, he did more in the last one than he did in all those...
No, but that's old footage.
No, I'm talking the last movie that he made, though... Because he's in the last one. The
last.
Splitterverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean old footage?
But all the it's from The Sixth Sense.
What? And you mean Unbreakable?
I mean Unbreakable.
It's very late. But,
it is.
But they filmed new things with him.
They did,
movie.
Yeah. But none of the flashback stuff is like, it's just old footage.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm saying he cared about that project to some extent.
I don't think he did.
Oh, no, not in the same way that he used to. Uh-huh. Like, especially after you watch like Pulp Fiction, it's like, this is not even the same man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, what do you do?
What do you do exactly?
Nothing. Anyway, do you want to wrap us up home?
No, because I got one more letter.
Well, then I don't want to.
Okay, then.
Happen.
This is from Jordan Bull.
Jordan.
Hi, James and Mason. That's us. My name's Jordan. And fun fact, I was listening to old episodes of your podcast while scrubbing toilets at McDonald's the other night. I assume he works at McDonald's.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Sneaking in at night. He's
just a good
in.
Samaritan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a good guy.
And I think listening to you guys talk about what's up and coming way back then is the most I'll ever get to feel like a time traveler. Anyway, wanted to say a huge thank you for your podcast. I actually overheard a coworker making Weekly Planet references at work 2 years ago and asked him if he too watched Mr. Sunday movies, and it sparked some great conversations. Now to this day, we are best friends, and watching both good and bad movies together is our favorite thing to do. It's also his birthday coming up, so happy birthday, Jacob.
Happy birthday, Jacob.
Anyway, that's from Jordan, official photographer of the podcast, maybe, he says.
I've already got one.
Who is it?
It goes to the live shows. Clickety-clack.
That is true. All right, so send us your portfolio.
Yes.
Your best photos of freshly scrubbed McDonald's toilets.
Yep.
And maybe you're in with a shot.
We will reverse Google image search this.
Exactly. Don't just get some blood. Don't just Google fresh scrubbed McDonald's toilets. Also, you can tell.
We're ready. I worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be scrubbing those toilets. I still check up on them and go, right. Yep.
You can tell the difference between
a Photoshop.
Exactly. That's right.
Photoshopped. Yeah. Scrubbed clean toilet.
Exactly. And I soiled many one of your McDonald's toilets.
Boy, did you.
Yeah. So we're both pretty profound experts there, let me tell you.
I meant to say this up top in the last episode and I didn't, and then I put it about here in the previous recording, but I also ran into some people at the pub who listened to the show and watched the YouTube channel.
So toilet talk has reminded you about the people you
met
again,
yes, because I remember we said that exact same thing before segueing into this as we were ending the show. But so you just want to say thank you for coming up and saying hi and being good, nice dudes and being supportive. Yeah, that's great.
Very welcome.
That was not directed at you in any way. I don't know how you could have interpreted it that way.
It's very late, and also welcome.
Okay, well, bring us home.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this show, episode 298/299. If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp.
Yep.
You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com, sign up for our newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter and at Raw Collings. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and I'm at Nick Maso, NickMaseau on Instagram. You're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere,
everywhere,
correct?
Single time.
If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies if you would like to chuck in a buck. I know you would.
Give us a dollar.
That's what we say. Yeah. Or if you want to click on the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description, I'm going to click through there and get a album of McDonald's toilet photographs, like a coffee table book of freshly scrubbed McDonald's toilets. You can do that. Or in fact, anything that you would normally buy on Amazon, we get a little kickback. That would
definitely
be terrific. If you'd like to leave us a nice review or tell your friends, that would be fantastic. Got a review there?
It would be wonderful. I do actually have a review right in front of me. I'm just bringing it up right now.
Very
and it says...
good.
A must listen for comic book fans. This is from Tom from Indiana. These mates are hilarious. Never fail to make me laugh. A great listen for all comic book fans. For any comic book fans, I should say, and just general movie fans. Sit back, grab yourself a big sandwich, and enjoy. So if people want to, you can review right on the app if you want to. Mason, right now you can do that. Help us out the show a lot.
Excellent. I'm not going to do it right now, though.
Yeah, but you could.
It'd be an inside job, though. It'd be weird, I feel like.
Well, a lot of people do that to climb the iTunes charts, Mason.
Do they
so.
Really?
Oh, mate, it is rife with it. Yeah.
This is diabolical.
That's true.
We should come up with some sort of The Boys team that kills other podcasts.
I could name some names.
Oh, could you? Tell me off air. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Wait, would I know any of them, though?
100%.
What?
And if I told you, you'd be like, of course.
Oh, I get a sense now. All right, we'll talk about it off air. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
nobody we personally know.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm not like over at Sans Pants. They're bloody...
Right.
Those guys are great. Yeah.
But is it them?
It's definitely them. That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What else? Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Yeah.
And buy our t-shirts on tpublic.com if you'd like to. We love seeing a logo t-shirt out
we
in the
really
wild.
Do, yeah.
Don't forget our charity campaign. We're nearly halfway.
Woo!
Imagine... if you were the person to tip it over the edge. Did I say that last time?
Yes. Mate, no, now you're saying it now.
Correct.
You tip us over the 50K is what you're saying, or the 25K, the halfway point.
If you could
point.
Do both, yeah. That would be terrific. If you could just bloody... if you want to donate $25,050 and get us over the edge to the end, that would be terrific.
That, yeah. Then we could stop bloody banging on about the environment.
Oh, my God. Pay to get us to stop talking.
Next week, D23.
Love it.
And we'll see you guys at the movies. I mean,
oh, old Hollywood, I get it now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that.
It's because it's very late.
I've never seen anyone at the movies when I've seen them. Oh, mate, it's not important. Let's end the show, yeah? Let's end the show. Everybody, yep. Everybody at home, we're calling it a day.
We're,
goodbye.
We're calling it. Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week.
Ah.
We'll see you next week.
He's back. Do you want to do Ghost Seinfeld?
No, I'll save it for another episode.
Because, just for, so people know, Mason has a Ghost Seinfeld impersonation that he finally revealed to the world.
And then never got recorded, yeah.
Is it supposed to even be out there? You know what I mean?
Is it even real?
Is it even real? Like a ghost of Seinfeld.
Yep.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.